Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Coco and Daltz, the podcast. We review movies and stuff, and our motto is real people, real reviews.
But real
reviews is R-E-E-L.
What?
I know, because people are following along and they're like, how is that spelled, Daltz?
That's clever.
That is clever. Oh, by the way, I'm not Coco.
And I'm not Daltz.
And so tell me, Coco, what exactly have we been doing for the past 90 days, it seems like?
Well, you are in luck, listener, because today is part one of a three-part special mini-series devoted to the Star Wars trilogy.
What?
Yes.
Oh, I wish I had studied for this.
We have a trilogy of podcasts coming to you about a trilogy of trilogies. And our episode today is all about the original trilogy, which was released in the 70s and 80s, also known now as episodes 4, 5, and 6, A New Hope, a.k.a. was just called Star Wars when it came out in 77, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. And since we know that everybody in the world has seen the original trilogy, we're not going to do a summary like we normally do, except to say, everybody in the world knows Luke Skywalker, and Han Solo, and Princess Leia, and Darth Vader, and Chewbacca, and Yoda, and Jabba the Hutt, and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and R2-D2 and C-3PO. The Empire.
Lando Calrissian. How could you forget?
Right, sorry. The Empire, the Rebellion, Jedis.
So Sith, bad guys versus good guys.
Right. Darth Vader is literally all black.
Literally?
Literally all black.
And Luke in the beginning is all white, too.
Yeah, he's all white. Yeah. So
we're here to talk about the trilogy because we want to delve deeply into it. We want to talk about the Jungian aspects.
The Jungian archetypes that... Well, we should also mention that today is devoted to the original trilogy. There will be references to the prequel trilogy and the Disney trilogy, but we're focusing mainly on the original trilogy, which, spoiler alert, is the best trilogy.
So it's Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, as you mentioned. And so Star Wars originally was the movie that came out in 1977. George Lucas wrote, directed, and all sorts of funny business. He did the whole thing. And it turned out to be a huge, amazing blockbuster boffo tale. So
Which is understandable because it's awesome.
And it is very good. Like, so when we rewatched all these, we rewatched all three of the trilogies.
We've pounded 9 Star Wars movies in like 5 days.
And I'm going a little cross-eyed, I got to tell you.
Because
Star Wars is more of Coco's thing than it is my thing, and I'm trying to earn valuable relationship points, but at the same time, it's a lot of bum sitting watching lasers.
We originally were just going to watch the original trilogy, and then Dalt said, well, I've never seen the prequel trilogy, so let's watch that. And then I was like, why don't we just finish it off?
Right.
You know.
So we're here to talk about the original trilogy.
Sorry, I interrupted.
77, and then Empire Strikes Back came in 80, and then Return of the Ewoks came back in 1983, and that was wrapping up the trilogy. So first one, Star Wars, whatever you want to call it, A New Hope. Great little story. Acting is irregular. The original special effects, I like. So we watched the recalibrated, refashioned, remastered version that Disney has on now on Disney Plus. So everything is looking really good. There's CGI and everything like that. But originally, you could see Luke's land speeder kind of, you know, bumping along, and the green screen behind it kind of moving a little bit. And then when they did the original, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then when they did the original crawl at the beginning, you could see the letters sort of waving a little bit as they were fading into the background. Now everything looks locked down. It's all good. And it's a classic good versus evil story, and obviously good triumphs over evil. And it was made to be one movie, right? It was made to be a self-contained, this is going to just be something I want to do, says George Lucas. And it turned out to be so huge and successful that, you know, the money spoke and they made a couple more, and then he decided he was going to keep writing it. So anyway, great story. Like I said, not the best acting in the world. The dialogue is a little cheesy, but knowing that Lucas modeled a lot of this. He originally wanted to do some Flash Gordon remakes, and they wouldn't license it to him. So he said, I'll make my own space opera, quote unquote. And so the Flash Gordon stuff was extra cheesy to begin with. So if you're going to model it on that sort of cheese, then why not go all the way and make your own cheese? Make your own fine cheese.
See, I didn't find the dialogue as cheesy in the original trilogy as it was in the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's because the second and third movies were not written entirely by him. But even in the first movie, I didn't feel it was as egregious as it was in the prequel trilogy. Now, maybe that's just because, like, the first movie is so beloved.
Right. And it is what it is, too. It's like not setting itself up to be any sort of deep message movie. It's just it's just an adventure.
Right. So maybe it's because, like, I've seen the first movie so many times and I'm just immune to the cheese. Whereas with the prequel movies, even though I've seen a lot of them as well, like, it's just so glaringly obvious how bad the dialogue is in those movies. Like, I don't know. The first trilogy is just so good and on so many levels, like, it's easy to overlook the flaws.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And by far, I think the best trilogy of the three. We've seen all three trilogies. We haven't rewatched the last one in the
Rise
sequel,
of Skywalker.
The sequel trilogy. We haven't rewatched that, but I remember seeing it the first time around. And so it's definitely better. And the chemistry with Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia and Chewbacca and C-3PO and R2-D2. That was all so new and fresh that it works really well. And everybody's like all kind of picking at each other, but they all love it each other. It's very much like a family. And the first one, the Star Wars New Hope dealio is the microcosm of that. It just works. It works really well for what it is. Like, it's not The Godfather or some of these other movies that were out around that same time, and or Taxi Driver or anything like that, where people are like, "Wow, this is a powerful movie," and you come out of there and you go sit down for a while. But this one, you just come out of it and you're feeling a little bit lighter and fluffier for having seen it.
And the characters were like really well developed too, for it being the first movie of a trilogy where maybe you're just like getting introduced to characters. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even though it wasn't necessarily planned as a trilogy, but you see Luke's frustration at being stuck on Tatooine. Mm-hmm. And then, you see his, wanting to join Obi-Wan and join the Resistance. And, Princess Leia is already like this full-fledged like Resistance hero. Yeah. And Han Solo is this gunslinger, like smuggler, devil may care guy. So the characters were already really well developed. And yeah, their chemistry with each other was just off the charts. And it was... It worked on so many levels. And
yeah, and also that's because they were fleshed out pretty well, even though it was supposed to be one movie, it works for a sequel. Like, you wanted to know more about these characters, and I wanted to see Han Solo. Like, when I watched Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back when I was a kid, I was like, this is my kind of hero. Like, he wasn't like the all polished, shiny, superhero. Mm-hmm. Like, Superman came out around the same time, and like,
Superman's impossibly perfect.
Right. Like, and this is a guy I could relate to, right. He's walking around with a talking carpet and everything like that. Like, I thought that was pretty great. The whole aspect of that. And so let's move on to Empire Strikes Back and talk about that a little bit too. Like, that has been regarded as probably the best of all the Star Wars movies.
I can see that.
You agree with that?
I mean, depending on the day, I would put that or A New Hope at number one.
Oh, yeah.
And whichever one isn't number one will be number two, because they're both so good.
Yeah.
Like, it's nonstop action, really, but it's not overwhelming nonstop action like The Rise of Skywalker was. Like, The Rise of Skywalker, there was just, like, no time to breathe. Mm-hmm. It's like, chase scene. Mm-hmm. More chase scenes. Like, the first 45 minutes, I was just like, what's going on? It's like, I've got whiplash. And this is nonstop action. It's action-packed, too, but not in an overwhelming way. Mm-hmm. And you get more of the interplay between Vader and Luke. And you know more about what's motivating Vader. You get that iconic I am your father scene. You get the iconic lightsaber duel between Vader and Luke at the end. Like, it's
a pretty perfect movie as far as this goes.
And Yoda's introduced. And freaking everybody loves Yoda.
And the conflict that Luke Skywalker faces in terms of, am I going to be a good Jedi? And how can I do this? And with Yoda, that whole aspect of questioning himself and existentialism. And there's a lot of depth in that second movie. And you have they have the buddy factor with Han Solo going out to rescue Luke in the snow and everything like that from the Abominable Snowman from the Santa Claus stop action movies from my youth. But there's a lot of really good things about that. And having seen all of these movies, I would say that it's probably my favorite. Star Wars is good because it was pioneering at its time. It was revolutionary. It was a bubble gum kind of movie. And in those days, there weren't a lot of those movies out there. They were mostly TV serials and stuff like that. They were in that sort of form. So I would say, I would agree with you, but I would say probably more so Empire Strikes Back would be my favorite, just because I like the temptation factor of, is Luke going to go to the dark side? And, you know, and what's, there's more depth about this story about Darth Vader and what's he all about? And the fact that Han Solo gets frozen in the carbon and gets taken away by who I thought was one of the coolest characters in the whole franchise was Boba Fett. He was always the guy that I wanted to see more about. And now, of course, with the Mandalorian out there, that appeals to me in terms of that kind of character.
And there's another iconic moment right then when he's about to be frozen and Leia goes, I love you. Yeah. And he goes, I know. That is so iconic.
Well, that's me and you when I'm like, you're leaving for work and I go, I love you. And you're like, yeah, I know.
I'm like, no, you don't.
I'm like, I'm off to work. Yeah. I'll be back. You know, you'll be here when I get back.
Yeah. All right, whatever.
And so, yeah, like Empire Strikes Back, written by Lawrence Kasdan and Lee Brackett. Lee Brackett apparently was a co-writer on that and died before the movie went into production. And so Kasdan... In other words, George Lucas did not write that. The story is still by him. The characters are still by him. But he's not directing and he's not credited with screenplay in that. And it's the best movie of the bunch. So, you know, I wonder how much that says there. And any other thoughts on Empire Strikes Back? I mean, it's an iconic movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, the trilogy, like, I know your thoughts on Return of the Jedi. Like, you have
I want to get to that one.
You have it way down on your list of, you know, ranking 1 through 9, what's best and what's worst. But everything just flows well, you know? Like, you have the story in 1 leads to the story in 2, which directly leads to the story. I mean, 1 can definitely stand alone.
Yeah.
And then 2 and 3 are more, like, dependent on each other.
Right.
But it's not like... Oh, we suddenly, now we're in Empire Strikes Back, but what happened? Like, everything just flows together seamlessly.
It felt natural. You know? Like, it wasn't a stretch, really.
Yeah, the only thing I would say that Empire Strikes Back has over A New Hope for me is, like, the beginning of A New Hope, like, once you get 3PO and R2 off the ship and they crash land on Tatooine, like, until they get found by Luke and Uncle Owen, like, it's a little bit draggy.
Oh, yeah,
like, they're
yeah.
going through the desert, and they get kidnapped by the sand people, and mm-hmm. and it's the same thing with Return of the Jedi. Like, the beginning where Luke is rescuing Han and Leia and 3PO and R2 from Jabba the Hutt, like, that's a little bit draggy for me. Like, even though you hate Jabba the Hutt, and you want Han to be broken out, and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you, Boba Fett gets eaten by the Sarlacc, you know, like, you know, even though it's...
still being digested, by
right,
the way.
That's true. Like, even though it's a rescue operation and it has to be done because Empire Strikes Back ended on that cliffhanger, like, mm-hmm. it's still just a little bit draggy to me, mm-hmm. but otherwise, you know, I like the stories.
Yeah, and the one negative I would say about The Empire Strikes Back, it feels like a bridge movie in a trilogy, so it feels like it's, you know, we know there's another movie coming. We have to entertain you with some sort of resolution, but we can't give everything away, so we're going to leave something at the end. So that's why Han Solo is still in carbonite and frozen in time, and there are other aspects of that movie that you're still like, well, what's happening next?
Well, it's the best possible kind of bridge movie, though, because...
Yeah, I would agree.
A lot of times, you know, it's very easy to write a beginning, and it's very easy to write an ending, yep. but how you get from the beginning to the end tends to, mm-hmm. you know, it can not be good, and we've seen that with the Disney trilogy. So
we're going to talk about those.
And a little bit to a lesser extent, the prequel trilogy, although Attack of the Clones is much better than mm-hmm. The Last Jedi. But anyways, so it's a middle, but it's a really, really, really good middle.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, even though it's servicing into a third movie, like, it doesn't feel like we just have to get through all this stuff to get to a third movie.
And it also doesn't feel, having said that, and I know I'm criticizing it for being feeling like a middle movie, but it doesn't. You could watch just The Empire Strikes Back and you'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you might be like, oh, I wonder what happened to Han, but it's a self-contained. It's like the idea of some of these movies is you don't want to make them, you know, 6.5, 7 hours that you've got to watch every little bit in order. Like, that's what I feel like with the prequel sequel, or the prequel trilogies and the sequel trilogies, to use my correct nomenclature here. Like, they all feel like they should be consumed very close, one after the other.
Uh-huh.
Or streaming, what have you, that we're into now. Whereas it would be nice to have movies that come out, it's like, yeah, that was good. Like, not to drop a completely incongruous reference, but like Lethal Weapon. Like, those, all those sequels, you could just watch one of them and you're yeah, fine. Totally. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to watch all of them. You don't need to start at number one and go all the way through to number 7 or whatever they're up to.
Because in every movie, they're like, we're too old for this.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah. And then Joe Pesci shows up and complains about the drive-thru.
Yeah, yeah, ruins everything.
Just like the Ewoks.
So, Return of the Jedi.
Speaking of the Ewoks,
Return of the Jedi is one of my least favorite Star Wars franchise movies because of the Ewoks.
Where would you put it, ranking 1 through 9, one being the best, 9 being the worst, where would you put Return of the Jedi in the Star Wars canon?
So right now, probably number 8.
Wow.
7 or 8. I think we all know what number 9 is. And I had only seen, so the whole, one of the purposes of us doing this was I'd never seen the prequel trilogies. So Coco says to me, hey, let's do that. And like she said earlier, we needed to wrap the whole thing up and go from beginning to end. So I won't go into too much about the whole Jar Jar Binks situation.
We're going to talk a lot about Jar Jar when we do the prequel trilogy podcast.
But Jar Jar, so the Ewoks did to Return of the Jedi what Jar Jar Binks did to that movie. And that just was, I was out. Like, wow. The angry teddy bears. So here's what happened. So as many people know, George Lucas took a lower directing salary on the franchise in order to get it done. But as part of that deal, in order to get the movie done, but as part of that deal, he said, I'm taking 100% of the merchandising rights.
Which is a pretty sweet deal.
Which is a savvy, smart idea.
Yeah.
In hindsight. Like, if the movie tanks and he doesn't get anything out of it, then it's not a smart deal. But so I was reading something about how the merchandise rights to this date are worth billions of dollars or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. So he's made all that money. So what my theory is, by the time he got to the third movie, was I need more merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
And I need the kids to buy the merchandise. I don't want the fanboys who are 15 years old buying Luke Skywalker statues. We got that money. I need to break into another market. So I'm going to have angry teddy bears as the downtrodden and underdog element of the movie. So that's what happened. So they support Han and Leia and Luke, and they're there to help out with their home fashion slingshots and rock catapults and stuff like that. So they just, it just put me off that movie. The storyline was pretty good otherwise. I mean, there's a lot of resolution there. Han comes out of the carbonite or whatever it was, and the suspended animation. And we see a lot of interaction with Leia, and there's a lot of resolution with Luke and Vader, obviously. But I liked that part of it, but just every time the Ewoks showed up, I was like, yeah, no. Like, this feels like a Muppet movie all of a sudden. What are we doing?
See, I don't mind the Ewoks as much, but mm-hmm. that's because that movie came out when I was like 6 or 7 years old. And so I was right in the Ewok demographic.
Yeah.
So they don't bother me. And also they don't seem as egregiously racist as Jar Jar.
Well,
so.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right.
So they don't really bother me. Like, I Return of the Jedi, for me, I would probably put it at like number 4.
Wow.
On my list of like 1 through 9. Like, wow. It's still.
So I'm sleeping on the couch tonight is what you're saying.
Well, after a year of me sleeping on the couch, like, I think it's your turn.
And in the show notes, we'll explain what that means.
Part of that is the reason why we just took a hiatus. So thank you for tuning back in.
So Lawrence Kasdan also wrote Return of the Jedi, co-wrote with George Lucas. And George did the story, and it was not directed by either one of those guys. So, like, it's definitely The trend here is in the first sequel, or the first trilogy, is don't let George do anything right. other than just provide the story.
There's probably a reason why the original trilogy is the best trilogy, because he had, his fingers weren't directly in the pie at all times.
And so we're going to see that with the prequel trilogy. We're going to get to that. But again, we run into some problems with the first one, which is all George all the time. But Return of the Jedi, it was good. It was fine. So where would you rank the this trilogy you said is the best
of
the
three, right? This is by far the best of the three, for sure.
And why would you say that?
Just consistently, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the prequel trilogy, there's one movie that is just absolute trash.
Yeah.
And then the other two movies are mediocre to good.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Disney trilogy, you've got one movie that's really good, one movie that's just okay, and then one movie that is on the... On a good day, I'm disappointed. On a bad day, I hate this movie. You know, so of the three trilogies, the original trilogy is the one that is most consistently good. Like, there's... Return of the Jedi for me is not crap. Mm-hmm. Like, Return of the Jedi for me is still a really good movie, because the storyline is still good. It doesn't feel like there's any filler. I mean, you could probably cut out some of the Ewok stuff, you know, some of the Forest Moon of Endor stuff, you could maybe cut that out, but it doesn't, nothing feels overlong. There's no parts of that movie where I'm picking up my phone and like, all right, what's on Facebook? Ewoks. Oh, great. All right. They're going to do like a little speeder chase again. You know, like it's.
Or the dance at the end of the whole movie was like, I wanted to get up and leave. And I think my attitude, my reaction to that was sort of personified in the movie by, was it Wedge Antilles? Was it
Wedge Antilles?
Wedge Antilles was standing there with his helmet and his orange suit after getting out of the X-Wing fighter, and he's just standing there like, what the F is going on here? Like, that was me. He wasn't dancing. Like, everybody else was dancing and having a drink and livening it up and really, you know, celebrating. And he was standing there going, what?
Even Billy Dee was half-heartedly like, all right, they're paying me good money. I guess I got to like maybe clap and sway from side to side.
He smiled a little bit.
You know, but Wedge Antilles is like, nah.
Yeah. So Wedge Antilles, like, I was like, me and you, buddy.
Yeah.
If I'm in this movie, that's what I'm doing. I'm like, all right, do I really have to be on set today? Couldn't I have died in one of the battle scenes rather than have to put up with the dancing happy bears?
Well, he might as well have died because they didn't like utilize him at all in the sequel trilogy. So,
by the way, Wedge Antilles is the best character name of all time. I think that, never mind all this like Obi-Wan getting his separate origin story and everything like that, I think Wedge Antilles has got to have his own story. That's story of Wedge Antilles.
That's a great idea. And he was 3PO and R2's like owner for a while.
See, now, so that's background I didn't even know.
What? No, they say that right at the beginning of, is it A New Hope? When Luke says something about like, I hope you're not stolen. And they were like, oh no, we can only remember our previous master was like, you know, Master Antilles or whatever.
Yeah,
and
then, that's right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So how did he, those droids got passed around a lot.
Yeah,
like, that's what I want to know. I want to know how, what their story was, how they traveled from being, you know, built by Anakin in his like slave hut to, you know, the end of Rise of Skywalker. That's what I want to know. I want their, R2 and C-3PO, they should have a Disney Plus series.
That would be great. Or it could be an animated series or something like that. Like,
I don't know. I'm not.
You don't like the animated series?
The animation, I don't know.
It could be like abstract animation. It could be just all colors.
That's why
4 minutes long.
That's why I'm putting off watching The Clone Wars, because even though I know I'm supposed to watch The Clone Wars and it's supposed to be really good, it's animated and I'm just not an animation person.
So I think one of the things with them being passed around is sort of like a pro athlete who gets traded a lot. It's like, maybe they're just not team players. Maybe they're just too... Like, I always think of, when I see C-3PO and R2-D2, I think of like the classic comedy of Laurel and Hardy or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this is another fine mess you've gotten me into. You know, like that kind of thing. And maybe it gets tired after a while and they're like, okay, you guys, you go over there somewhere.
Yeah. I was going to say something and I forgot what it was. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That happens to me all the time. It's usually me looking at you and saying, oh, she's so beautiful. And then like my mind just clears.
See, listener, this is what I'm talking about when I doubt Daltz's love.
I watched nine
you
movies.
Did.
So
you did. You
Star
watched,
Wars movies.
You watched six movies that you had zero interest in watching because because I was going through a really rough time and you were like, she likes Star Wars, let's put her in a good mood and watch all the Star Wars movies.
Valuable relationship points.
And R2 is my favorite character
yes.
in the trilogy, and he's in like all nine movies. So that automatically puts me in a good mood. Is if it were acceptable for a 43-year-old woman to have like an R2 like plushie or a Baby Yoda plushie, like I would totally.
I was thinking maybe you should get an R2 tattoo. get like on your arm or something like that.
Is that
or
something?
Or on the back of your neck.
Is that? Can you imagine me like going to teach a yoga class and I'm in a tank top and I've got this gigantic like R2 tat like on my forearm?
You know what?
Like,
it would be a conversation starter. I bet.
It totally would. And R2 is. Well, no, R2 is not very yoga. Like Yoda or Obi-Wan would be like a yoga tat, but
yeah.
R2 is not very.
He's not Yoda at all.
No.
Yoga at all.
No, definitely not. So, but yeah. He's still awesome.
He's still R2-D2.
He's still R2-D2.
Yeah.
So, trilogy as a whole, what?
Oh, trilogy as a whole, based on what I've seen of the other trilogies, which is all of them, I would say, I would put this neck and neck with the prequel trilogy. So, that is controversial, I know, but we're going to get to the prequel trilogy in our next podcast.
Our next podcast, which will be episode 66, which is perfect because Order 66 is what
is very key
Palpatine
moment.
Yeah, gave to the stormtroopers to execute the Jedi. So.
And I always thought, here's another thing, I always thought Palpatine was like something, it was that pink liquid you took when you had indigestion.
Oh, yeah.
So now that he's a villain, that makes more sense to me.
Maybe I should have taken that last Thursday after I drank a whole bottle of Prosecco.
Taking some Palpatine?
Yeah.
Pepto-Palpatine.
Yeah. Or is that like for a heart flutter, like Palpatine?
Look at you. Yeah, wow, off the top of your head.
Right.
And the producer right now is waving at us, so I think he's like, wrap it up.
They're making bad puns, so this is a sign that it's time to go.
We want to keep this producer because he's pretty good. So
yeah, that's true.
So I like this trilogy. I think that I recommend it for those of you who haven't watched it.
I, as far as I'm aware, I know exactly one person who has never seen the original trilogy, and he's my age, and he's kind of like purposely avoided it.
Really?
Just to be a contrarian.
Oh.
But he still knows Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia and Jabba the Hutt and C-3PO and R2-D2. Like, he still knows. He knows what happens because you can't be alive
right.
and not know what happens in the original trilogy. But he's just a contrarian, so he hasn't watched it. So, hi, Derek.
I would recommend that you not watch the last 10 minutes of Return of the Jedi, and then you'll be fine.
Because of the
whole dancing Angry Bears thing. Just... Like even some of the, it totally detracted from the severity of the battle when they were like doing backflips and they were going, wah! Like doing that, that R2-D2 scream, you know, that, and it just was, it kind of was like, is this war or is this cartoons? Because they're dying, you know, they're actually getting killed, but,
right.
and yet then, it was funny. So it was a kind of an odd paradox there to me. I was a little put off as listener might have been able to tell by now.
Right, which is why Daltz is putting it at 7 or 8 out of 9, which is stunning because the quality of the franchise goes precipitously downhill after 1983. So,
well, as we get to the next trilogy, you'll find out what I ranked as the number 9 movie, but I think you can probably infer from our comments what it is.
I think if you're alive, you know what we're probably going to rank at number 9. For me, what Daltz ranks as number 9, for me, that might be number 8. Like, what that and something from the Disney trilogy are like neck and neck for 8 and 9.
So, listener, that is the definition of a cliffhanger right there. So, you have to tune into our next podcast on this to find out where Coco and I differ.
And you can tune in on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, YouTube, Google Play,
Skywriting.
I think we might be somewhere else, but I can't remember where. If you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review us. You can also let us know what you think of the podcast by getting in touch with us directly. Let us know what you want us to review, what you want to hear us talk about. You can email us at cocoandalts@gmail.com. That's all one word, and the and is spelled out, cocoandalts@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at cocoandalts. There's a theme.
What is the theme? I can't figure it out.
It's almost like we planned all that stuff to be the same.
It's almost like we have a multimedia conglomerate.
We're a multimedia empire.
Ooh.
Does that make you Palpatine and me Vader, or am I Palpatine and you're Vader?
Oh,
or...
so what character are we in the Star Wars universe?
Right.
I would say I'm Han Solo.
Because, like, course you say that.
I give, like, I don't give two craps about anything. It's like, why am I even in this movie? Yeah. I should be making Indiana Jones and Blade Runner instead.
There's a reason why Harrison Ford told the directors of the Disney trilogy that I will only do the first movie if you give me $50 million and kill me off, so I never have to do this ever again. You know?
Well, 75-year-old Han Solo, it just, you know, it just doesn't cut it at a certain point.
But that's still the best movie of that trilogy. But we digress.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about anything anymore.
I think the producer has left the booth, actually. So.
Right. So for another week, I'm Not Daltz.
And make sure to tune in to our next episode where we talk about the prequel trilogy. I'm Not Coco.